Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to target nearly every mood and health concern that you can think of. I'm talking about Mood.com's incredible line of functional gummies. And you can get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code BROS. Forget the one-size-fits-all supplements that you can only get high on. We're done with that, all right? Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood that you're looking for, whether that's the Mind Magic gummies for deep work and creativity, or the PMS support to ease cramps and balance mood swings, or their sexual euphoria gummies to help you feel ready for action and turn every touch into a full body experience. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much anywhere these days, but Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get to that perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with the code BROS. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use the promo code BROS when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Feeling sluggish? Grab a Cardo Max Energy Intensifier and wake up. Owned and operated by former Navy SEAL Sean Mattson, Cardo Max's Energy Intensifier will help you power through workouts, dead afternoons with vitamins B3, B6, B12, caffeine, and BCAAs. Use the promo code DB to get 30% off your next four orders at CardoMax.com. That's CardoMax.com, helping you achieve your max. Welcome to Drinking Bros, kids. Gonna be honest, dream come true here in Iowa. Obviously, if you build it, they will come. I have gone the distance, and I am sitting with Dwyer Brown, one of the stars of Field of Dreams. How are you, sir?
I'm doing very well. How could you not be doing well in imperfection?
It's crazy, right?
Yeah.
It still has to get you after all these years.
Yeah, I've been here probably 24 times since the movie shot, 33 years ago. And there's always something a little magic. I've been here in the dead of winter with snow on the ground, no corn. And I still think this place is special.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those places where once you're here, you kind of get caught up in it. I've never been here, but on the drive through, I felt like an odd sense of nervousness about it. Because it has meant so much to me and so much to a lot of people. What's that like for you?
Well, it has a lot of meaning for me, too, other than just having shot the movie here. My father died unexpectedly 36 days before I came to shoot this movie. So I left our farm in Ohio, where I grew up, and, I left my dad's funeral and came here to play a dead father walking out of the corn to have a catch with their son. So you can imagine that the significance of this movie has doubled for me, you know, and so over the years, it's kind of a touchstone for me that, you know, this is the first place I went, you know, after my dad died.
Where in Ohio, by the way?
I grew up in Sharon Center, Ohio, population 300, Northeast Ohio near Akron.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. The reason I ask, most of my family's from Ohio.
Oh,
I went
wow.
to Ohio State.
That's cool. Most of the best people.
So I know it well.
I shouldn't say that here in Iowa.
No, I mean, once you're here, you're here, right?
Yeah.
You know, you're like, I'm Iowa.
Yeah.
I'm Iowa all the way. Mike's a little hot today because I'm excited. That's why I'm checking the levels here, and I apologize. But, looking around here, you got a perfect day in Iowa, and I'm sure you're slammed personally.
Well, yeah. I mean, I've had a bunch of media requests, but it's just kind of great because, you know, like I said, this place has a lot of meaning for me, and any of that I can share, because, you know, some people come here and they don't know a lot of the history of the field or the movie and all that kind of stuff. So I don't know. For me, it's just kind of a gift to be able to talk to people about it, because I'd like to pass this on to another generation of moviegoers and baseball lovers and, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, again, I'm here with my father, and that means the world to me. And I'm sure a lot of people that are coming to the game tonight are also going to be bringing their fathers as well, and then you're going to get bombarded.
Yeah, I mean, to me, that was one of the most touching things about the 25th anniversary that they had here, was there was a moment where they let all the fathers and sons go out on the field at one time and have a catch. And there were, you know, 500, 1,000 people out there just back and forth, you know, dropping the ball, talking to each other. You know, it was to me one of the most powerful moments, you know, and there was all kinds of incredible, you know, we were getting interviewed by Bob Costas, and we, you know, played in a inter-squad game and all this stuff. But to me, that was the most touching moment.
Yeah. Yeah. How is Costas?
Oh, I got a kick out of him. You know, one of the best, another great moment from that was, you know, we played this inter-squad game, and I was on a team with Kevin and Brett Saberhagen and Bob Costas. And at one point, you know, Costas, who'd gotten on base, you know, he got a hit and rounded the bases. He came back to the dugout, and he said, excuse me, guys, I think I just pulled both my hamstrings, so I'm going to go up to the booth now where I belong. So he went up to where they were announcing, and he announced the rest of the game. So I got to have my own name, Dwyer Brown, coming to the plate. You know, so anyway, that to me was like a thrill. Bob Costas, you know.
It's crazy. We had Peter Vesey on the show last week.
Oh.
And so yeah. I asked him about Bob Costas, and I go, what's the real story with Costas? And he dropped it on me. He was like, look, man, Costas is there for himself, but he's one of the best of all time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know what's a touching story? We were driving back from the field here to the Julian Hotel in Dubuque, and we were on a big tour bus. And as we were crossing, I see Costas walking out of the Julian Hotel into a sports bar across the street by himself. He was just walking over there to give those guys a thrill. You know, can you imagine you're in a sports bar and in walks Bob Costas?
No.
No. I thought that was a pretty class act. Now, unfortunately, I was on the bus. I didn't see what happened in there. But, you know, Bob Costas, not like you're not going to recognize the guy. I mean, I just thought that was kind of cool for him to go, like, hang out with the, you know, with the peeps, you know. Like,
yeah.
It was pretty cool.
I know Cosell used to do that as well. Like, he was very aware of who he was. Yeah. There was an infamous story where he stopped in the ghetto and pulled the limo over and saw a couple black kids fighting. And he goes, I can stop this. And they're like, I don't think you know where you are. And he goes, I don't think you know who I am. And he got out of the car and stopped. Everybody stopped.
Fellas, please.
How many times have you been back since the movie?
Probably, maybe a dozen and a half or so. You know, every few years there's some sort of event here that they invite me to. And, you know, I ended up, I just 6 months ago bought a building in Dyersville because there was this beautiful old building from 1860 that was falling into disrepair. There was a hole in the roof for 5 years. And I kept seeing it, and I sort of almost had a Ray Kinsella-like moment where I thought, I pictured a neon sign that said Kinsella's with a neon batter swing and the baseball kind of going off the thing. And I was like, you know, and I talked myself out of it for like three visits. I'm like, what? You know, it was so cheap out here in Iowa. And, you know, I grew up fixing up houses. You know, my childhood farmhouse, my dad made us work at our butts off, and we learned how to do construction. But anyway, I ended up buying this thing, and we've been, you know, working on it. I put in a new roof, of course, and I sandblasted the whole thing. And there's these cool caverns underneath where they used to store beer. In 1860, it was the Germania Brewing Company, and there's these hand-built stone caverns that are underground that are just awesome, where they used to store the beer. And anyway, I don't know what the heck I'm going to do with it, but right now I'm just fixing it up so it'll be a, you know, maybe a place where, you know, the community can kind of rally around. And you know, they've had a pretty long time of having this movie here and visitors coming out, and you know, but I think they can just use a little shot in the arm. Certainly this MLB game will help.
Oh, sure. Have you ever thought about moving here permanently?
I mean, I don't think so. I grew up on a farm in Ohio, and you know, I love the Midwest. I love coming back to the Midwest. But, I mean, geez, the humidity we've been dealing with the last few days has been, you know, brutal. I mean, California is a pretty awesome place to live. And, you know, I don't mind having a place to come back to. But I don't think I could deal with the winters or the humidity again.
Yeah. That's the thing we miss about California the most is the weather. Everything else, don't miss.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't miss.
I mean, you know, I've got a house, so I don't have to buy a house at the prices people are asking.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but it is a pretty cool place to live. I mean, you know, so I don't know. I don't think I'm coming east on a permanent basis,
because yeah. You know, everybody from L.A. there's a mass exodus.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure there is. And, you know, I'll have a building in case I change my mind.
Yeah, because we're in Austin. We're in Austin, yeah. Texas, along with a lot of other people now.
Yeah.
We got in right before. They gave us the heads up. They gave us the old wink, wink, walked us through the blueprints, and they said, hey, you got about 2 months to buy a house, or you're screwed. Dead wow. Serious. So Jesse and I, we met with a realtor, looked at 27 houses in 36 hours.
Oh, my gosh.
Bought one. It has already doubled in a year.
Wow.
And it's people from California walking in, going door to door, just offering cash for houses. Wow. And I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, and I love Austin. I did a ball game there. I did an appearance there. And, you know, there's a river that runs right through the town. And, you know, within 2 seconds, I was in this place. I felt like I was in the middle of nowhere. And I'm, you know, I don't know, half a mile from downtown. It was
yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Beautiful there.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Now, trying to get people to work is a different story. But I heard that's the same
that's
everywhere.
I don't think that's just Austin. Yeah, I'm going to say I think that's a trend,
yeah.
Sadly.
Yeah, because you and I have an interesting connection. My wife... her brother is married into your family now.
That's right.
And new baby on the way, everything yeah. else. She was supposed to be here. We had 3 flights canceled tonight. And
wow.
Then the kids go back to school. Yeah. The meet and greets on Friday morning. She was worried about missing it.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's just, you know, crew not showing up, everything else. But it's literally happening in every single city. To me, it was refreshing to come to a place like this and get caught up in the magic of something and not worry about the rest of the world for a couple days. I've got to imagine it's the same way for you.
Yeah, I think to me that's what this place offers, is this little solace. You know, I've always been amazed. There's this little baseball field that we shot the movie on 33 years ago. There's nothing else here.
Yeah.
You come in here, there's nothing to do. I mean, you know, you can bring your kids and all that. You can have a catch. You can walk around in the outfield. You can, you know, stick your hand in the corn, walk around. But there's nothing else to do. But it's remained the tourist draw of Iowa for decades,
mm-hmm.
because it offers that little sense of let's think about our lives, or let's, you know, reevaluate. Let's, you know, I don't know what it is exactly, but there's a great appeal. And I think a lot of it is just the peace and the calm that's here in a cornfield that really shouldn't be here in the middle of a cornfield.
Yeah. And, you know, I look, we were chatting a little bit before we started, like I've done a bunch of films. Usually it doesn't meet the expectations of what you saw in the finished product. But when I drove up here today, not only does it look identical, it's even more beautiful in real life, and it's almost hard to describe.
Yeah, I'm constantly telling people, look, if you're ever out there, you should stop by this. I can't tell you why. I can't say, oh, there's this incredible whatever, but if you love the movie, or if you love baseball, or if you even love your family,
mm-hmm.
it's just a place that supports that.
Yeah.
You know, for some reason you come here and it kind of strips away all that other stuff, like you were saying, and you're left to just kind of be with each other. And I think that's, you know, that's a pretty cool thing. There's not many places in the world that are like that anymore.
No, not at all. Because usually, you know, you watch a movie and then you go to the set, whatever it is, and it's tiny, it's small, it's gutted, where you come here and I don't get sentimental at all, and the listeners know this, but when I walked in I was like, oh my gosh,
yeah,
I clutched my pearls, and I'm not even wearing pearls. You know, I was like, oh, boy, this is beautiful here. Oh, can't believe it. Yeah. Oh, no. That's cool. And I'm lucky to share this experience because you don't know if it's going to happen. Now, this game was postponed. It was supposed to happen last year.
Right.
I'm sure the buildup to it for you last year, you were getting ready, probably in the gym, getting everything ready to go because you got to be a camera ready.
Totally. And I didn't know if they wanted me to throw a first pitch, and I'll be damned if I'm going to bounce that thing to home plate. So, yeah, I mean, believe me, it's on your mind. And you know, I want it to look good. You know, like people want you to be John Kinsella, you know, mm-hmm. and that's 33 years ago for me. It's not easy to kind of, you know, look, you know, like I did 33 years ago. But
you still look great.
Well, I appreciate that. But, yeah, so, yeah, there is a little pressure that goes along with it. But, you know, once I get here, I just, you know, let it all go. I am who I am. And what I really enjoy is taking people in. I've had people tell me just the most outrageous stories of how this movie changed their lives and their relationships with their dads. And, you know, I take that part of it seriously. I really try to take people in because, you know, as I said, I lost my dad just before the movie started. I was, you know, I have this, there's a Field of Dreams cornflakes out there now, and I came early here to go to Hy-Vee stores and sign boxes. And there's this, you know, this is just a line of people, and I'm just, you know, saying hi to people. And this guy comes up. He's like 6'4", maybe in his 60s.
Sure.
And I signed a couple boxes for him, and he says, yeah, this one's for my brother. And I'm looking at him, and his eyes start tearing up. He says, yeah, our dad died when we were 4 years old, and, you know. And, I mean, he was like, still tearing up about this thing at something, you know, his dad died 60 years ago or something. And, you know, I said, wow, you know, I miss my dad too. And, you know, I gave him a hug, you know, this kind of stiff Iowa farmer hug. But, you know, it, to me, that part of it is sacred a little bit. And I take it very seriously. Because I lost my dad, it's a way for me to bond with people because I think we all have those feelings about our dad. I met yours today, and he's awesome. And, you know, that's kind of a great thing that I've been thrust into with this role. But like I said, I try to really honor that because it feels like it's my way of staying in touch with my dad.
Yeah, and the other part about it is, you know, being an actor, you hope for a movie like this, but you don't know. And you get the script, and you're like, all right, great. I'm sure when you read it for the first time, you're like, all right, so people are going to disappear in and out of a cornfield, and then there's going to be whispering throughout the movie, and you're going to go the distance, and then the guy's going to find his dad at the end. What were your initial thoughts when you read it?
Well, I fortunately, a creative writing friend of mine from high school gave me the book Shoeless Joe, on which the movie is based, and, you know, 10 years before I auditioned for it. So, mm-hmm. And the book is great. It's really, I really recommend it.
I've read it, by the way.
Yeah, it's very different than
huge
the movie.
Fan.
But yeah. Anyway, so when this came along that Shoeless Joe was casting, I was thrilled because, you know, once you get the whole picture of how beautiful the movie could be, I was excited. Now, I also thought nobody is going to go see this movie. I mean, it's just too sweet and too, there's nothing in it. There's no sex, there's no violence, there's no cursing, you know, none of the things that make a movie a hit. And I just thought, you know, this is one that I want to do for me. You know, there's those projects that you very rarely that come along that you go, wow, I got to do this. And I don't care how much they pay me or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And this was one of those. And the fact that it's the one that kind of ended up, you know, lasting the test of time is kind of remarkable to me.
Yeah, because you don't know. And, you know, somebody like you, you've been a working actor for years and years and years. But this one film has stood the test of time, especially in a time where kids are so ADD. I've got two kids. They're either texting, they're on, you know, YouTube or whatever it is. This movie, though, still holds to when it comes on. Every dad is like, sit down, we're going to watch this movie together. And that's very, very rare today because most of the movies are forgotten, you know.
Yeah, they're disposable almost, yeah. And made to be that way almost, yeah.
It seems like it.
Yeah.
Whereas during your era, it was the golden... I always, whenever somebody, like a guest is on the show who's had a hit movie from the 80s or 90s, that was the golden age of movie making, where it felt like, all right, we're doing something important. We're shooting on film. It's not digital. And you felt like you were a part of something big that could potentially change the world. Whereas now it's just kind of run and gun. Great. Yeah, we can punch in and it's 4K. And
yeah. Totally. Or it's, you know, it's a superhero movie or whatever. Yeah. I agree with you that there was some substance in those years and, you know, in a time that maybe we'll never see again.
I don't know if we will. I was watching a Matt Damon interview the other day and he was like, sadly, I think we're the last of a dying breed, where he's got four kids and he goes, dude, I cannot get them off the phones or to stop texting. And he's like, even for a movie that the dad is in. And it just seems to be where we're headed, unfortunately. And it sucks because there's no movies in theaters. I remember sitting in the theater with my father watching this movie and being caught up in it. But it was the experience of being in a theater, seeing it on a big screen, seeing it all play out, hearing the whispers from around the theater and Dolby surround sound. That was part of the magic of it. Today, it's all right, great. We're going to put on a superhero costume and you're going to hear 4,000 explosions throughout the movie. And nobody really gives a shit about the scripts,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I don't. I can't even watch those movies myself.
Me neither.
I'm definitely with you. I think there's some of these classic ones that I could watch over and over again, and some of the newer ones that I can't even watch once.
What do you tell your students? Because I know Jesse, we've talked about this on Ross Patterson Revolution numerous times. Jesse was a student of yours. She loved you. So she said you were one of the greatest teachers ever, if not the best teacher she's ever had acting-wise. What do you tell your students about the current climate in Hollywood?
Well, yeah, first of all, yeah, Jesse was one of my favorite students, too. And, you know, I was kind of pressed because she had so much talent, but I was a little, you know, I was remiss to push her into a business that I don't think really supports that sometimes. You know, there's very few of my students that I said, hey, you know, you have enough talent, I think, and that you could do something out there, and I think you should do that. But, yeah, these days, I really don't know what to tell them. I stopped teaching sort of for that reason because I'm kind of a tough teacher. I really want to push people to be good and know how to be good every time the camera's rolling. Mm-hmm. But now it's just hard to kind of push them into a business that I think is a little, you know, bereft, a little vacant, you know. So, you know, if people want to do it for fun, you know, I think acting is a great way to kind of learn about yourself. But it's hard to, you know, to try to convince somebody that it's a worthwhile career.
Yeah, and I think that's why people hold on to movies like this and Field of Dreams with great value, because they know that you're not going to see a Field of Dreams for a long time.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah.
Trying to pass a movie through, I mean, Disney. I did a movie for Sony with these producers that they ended up doing The Rookie. Yeah. They ended up making a huge career out of sports movies. They did The Rookie. They did Miracle. They did the one with John Hamm where he goes to India to find the pitchers and things like that. And there's a formula to it. You got to get that one actor who's going to sell it. It'll make X amount of dollars and everything else.
Right.
But they're still not as good as Field of Dreams.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there was an innocence to Field of Dreams that may be lost for good, sadly, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it would be cool to think that maybe there's still some people out there who can find that magic. But yeah, I agree with you. I think they'd be working against the current these days.
I do too. And I have the same conversations with my friends where they're like, oh, hey, I've got a nephew or a niece or somebody who wants to get into acting. What's your biggest recommendation? Go into something else. because the streaming numbers don't pay. The residuals don't pay anymore. Yeah. And it's just a totally different climate.
Yeah.
Podcasts have kind of taken over, at least financially, which has been great for us. But I still miss making films.
Yeah.
And especially being out here, this is what it used to be. Where you got caught up in it, and the crew was running around, you were excited.
Oh, it's movie making so much fun. We have this you know, Field of Dreams serial, and we made a commercial just for kicks because we thought it would be funny. And you know, we hired a DP and did this, you know, little 30-second thing, but it was awesome. It's so much fun to make movies, but you know, everybody's thinking, and they should be, how am I going to sell this? How am I going to put this out there? And if it's not some blockbuster that somebody can make, you know, $1 billion off of, mm-hmm. they're not interested. And that to me is sad because it changes the content of movies. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, looking back at all of it now, it's just in hindsight, because I don't make that many movies anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You always hope you're a part of something like this.
Yeah.
And then you're not. And then I'm sure you probably tossed around with it back and forth in your head where you're like, man, I could have done so much more. Potentially, or been in the biggest films there is, but there's so much luck involved and everything else that it's hard to describe and hard to tell people.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I was up against Tom Cruise, the last six guys up for Risky Business back in the day, and mm-hmm. you know, and when I lived in Chicago, and you know, I didn't get that part. You know, I was up against Brad Pitt, the last few guys for Thelma and Louise. I didn't get that part. You know, I mean, and not to say that I could have been Tom Cruise or Brad Pitt, but this is the movie I got. This
yeah.
little 5 minutes, you know, and for years, for 25 years, I was kind of embarrassed when people made a big deal about it because I sort of felt like, you know, anybody could have walked in at the end of the movie and done my bit. You know, Kevin and James Earl and Ray do all the hard work of opening the audience's heart, and all I did was take my catcher's mask off and walk in, you know. But when I wrote the book about the movie called mm-hmm. If You Build It, when I did that, I began to realize, okay, look, if I'm going to beat myself up for the jobs I didn't get, I have to at least give myself credit for this little one that I did get. And, you know, in retrospect, I'm really grateful because I got into acting because I wanted to make movies that changed people's lives. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, that was naive of me. I was a farm boy. I loved It's a Wonderful Life. I just thought, gosh, it's such a powerful medium. Why don't we make movies that people will look, you know, and leave changed, you know, look at the world differently, you know? And, you know that there's so precious few of those that even get anywhere near that level. And this movie, you know, it was, again, just another movie going down the pike, but I didn't realize when we were shooting it that it had that potential. And I've had people come up to me in tears telling me that they changed careers because they watched Field of Dreams. Mm-hmm. They reunited with a dad they hadn't, you know, had a relationship with for years, or they figured out that the guy that they thought was their dad wasn't their dad, you know, but by being stirred their curiosity, they asked questions that they wouldn't have asked. And to me, that is a great legacy. And if I was lucky enough to have 5 minutes in one of those movies, then, you know, I couldn't be more happy about it.
That's the way I look at it too. There's a lot of people who have a different opinion on that. Like, cause I'll have people stop me and say, hey, I like this one film or whatever. Right. And friends of mine will be like, do you get really sick of that? I go, no. Lucky to do it.
Yeah.
Lucky to do
it.
Yeah,
no kidding. Yeah, I mean, everybody's happy to see me. Everywhere I go, if they recognize me from this movie, nobody's like, oh, there's that asshole from Field of Dreams, that right. shitty movie, you know? So, you know, it's kind of great. Everywhere I go, I have this little charm. And for the most part, people walk right by me. They don't even know who I am. I was at this event once, and I have a banner that's a full-size shot of me from the movie. And I was pulling up this banner, and this guy looked at me. He goes, oh, my God, is that guy going to be here? And I'm like, I am that guy, you know, like, but, you know, so I can go unrecognized. But for the people who had a profound effect from this movie, I think my face is somehow tattooed on their retinal nerve or something. And they see me and they're like, did I go to high school with you? Wait. And within a second, you can tell there's little tears in their eyes. And mm-hmm. they're like, oh, my God, like that movie meant so much to me. They always come kind of real sotto voce to me, come up real close. And, you know, I cry when I see that movie. Like they're the only person in the world.
Right.
But that to me is the charm of that movie. It feels like we made it for you. For that one person, you know. And so, you know, it's just been rewarding, you know. It's been gift after gift, this movie, for me. You know, for 5 minutes 33 years ago, here we are, major league game. And you know, I've had the benefit of all these incredible encounters with people who love that movie. So it's a win for me for sure.
Yeah, and I know you keep saying 5 minutes, but to me, it's one of the most important 5 minutes in film history. And the reason why is most of us guys, we don't show emotions.
Yeah.
We don't talk to our fathers. But it's one of those, when you're sitting there watching that film, that scene connects with men more than any other scene you could possibly ever imagine. And I don't know a man who hasn't gotten teary-eyed at that final scene of just having a catch with your dad. Because that resonates with all of us at the end of the day. And, you know, even though it was 5 minutes, to me personally, it was the most important 5 minutes of the movie. And if you don't have that, I don't know that you walk out of the theater with that feeling in your heart of like, oh, my God, that just changed my life.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. You know, what's interesting is people whose dads played catch with them every night after work, you know, rolled up their shirt sleeves and you know, played catch till the sun went down, they missed that experience. And I've met a bunch of people who either their dad refused to play catch with them, mm-hmm. believe it or not, or that their father died when they were young. They have the longing for that experience, you know, because the movie paints it as such a beautiful experience. And it is, you know, I mean, my dad, you know, taught my brother and I how to play catch with his old 1930s baseball glove. And, you know, I still carry it with me wherever I go because, you know, it's just that memory that stays alive with you. And I think it's right. Dads and sons frequently have difficulty finding words to say how they feel about each other. And I think a game of catch sort of is a symbol of that. You know, when you throw it, you're saying, I give to you. And when you catch it, you're saying, I get from you. And so without words, you can have that exchange that I think all of us long for with, you know, with fathers who sometimes, you know, can't find the words to say, you know, I love you.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd be remiss if I don't ask you about the cast, obviously. Now that I'm here and seeing that there's nothing around here with like Ray Liotta and Costner and those guys, like, look, Liotta used to burn it down back in the day. He used to go hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where did you go to party around here or hang out? Were you in the hotels? Like,
well, I can tell you that.
Is that the glove?
That's the glove. Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, I got it with me here. Yeah. So my dad's here in the interview. My dad's in the house. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, it was pretty weird. It's like I grew up on a farm in Ohio, so shooting the movie here felt like home to me.
Sure.
I couldn't have been more comfortable. This looks very much like the farm that was right next door to me when I grew up. But a lot of these other guys who were from the coast, you know, from L.A. or Chicago or New York, who were on the crew, they were stir crazy here. You know, like they felt like there was nothing to do. So, you know, we would find bars. We go down to Dubuque. I mean, there was nothing in Dyersville. There wasn't even a hotel. We all stayed in Dubuque. And even then, Dubuque was kind of a little bit of a backwater. So we would go to bars, any little sleazy bars that we could find, and stay up till 2, and figured out that if you go across the Mississippi River to Illinois, mm-hmm. to a town called East Dubuque, those bars are open till 4. So we would close the bars in Iowa, go across the Mississippi, and, you know, party. I mean, the team was, or the crew was so bored, they started a bowling team. I have a bowling shirt from the Dubuque lanes down here. It's Shoeless Joe Bowling. we had to come up with fake bowling names. Mine was Lou, and you know, so we had a bowling league. That's how bored everybody was.
Man.
And there was a Greyhound track. We would go bet on take our per diem, you know, our 46
yeah, yeah.
bucks a day, and waste it betting on the dogs. And anyway, it was a fun thing. You know, Kevin came out with us, and you know, Ray Liotta. I mean, these guys were. Tim Busfield is hilarious.
Oh yeah.
And we just had a great time. So you know, I have a lot of fond memories just of that. You know,
I'm sure. And you know, most of these movies, it kind of feels like sleepaway camp, where you're all friends for 3 months.
Yeah, right.
And then you
never
see each other again after that. And you're like, well, yeah. I guess that's it. I don't know. I'm sure everybody asks you if you stay in touch with Costner and Liotta and those guys. I would imagine probably at events like this, but how's the relationship in real life?
Oh, great. I just saw Kevin this morning, in fact. He was just leaving here, and yeah, he lives just a little bit up the coast from me, and mm-hmm. I mean, I actually like his band, Modern West, so I go to his concerts sometimes, and yeah, we see each other, you know. I mean, he's a busy guy and all that stuff, but yeah, he's always been super nice to me, and I really enjoyed. I mean, when we were shooting the movie, He was just like one of those people that was magnetic, you know. I loved, you know, just hanging out with him, and you know, we had a lot of time when we were shooting that scene, you know, between takes, where it takes forever for things to get set up and all that. And you know, what was kind of interesting about Kevin's career is while we were shooting Field of Dreams, Bull Durham came out. So in the middle of the shooting,
yeah.
He suddenly was a god. You know, we couldn't go to those bars anymore because suddenly, you know, with 10 minutes of walking in the door, there would be 40 girls around him. And,
yeah.
You know, and we would all, you know, vacate and go to someplace else. and at the same time, between takes of when we were shooting here, he would go to his Winnebago with Michael Blake, and they were writing Dances with Wolves. So it was like right in this sweet spot in his career where he, you know, just done Bull Durham, which I think kind of turned him into a sex symbol.
Sure.
If he wasn't already. And he was writing Dances with Wolves, for which he, you know, won the Oscar and you know, it was just a classically
cool movie.
So anyway, yeah, pretty neat kind of time that we were dealing with Kevin.
And then Liotta. Another,
yeah. Well,
I mean,
yeah. Then the next year, he was in Goodfellas, and you know, and those two were up for Best Picture, and Dances with Wolves won, which I thought was kind of you know, funny and
that's
ironic.
Hilarious.
But Ray is hilarious. He's just as you would imagine him. But you know, we ended
he's
up
crazy. By the way,
oh yeah, he's crazy.
Yeah.
We ended up hanging out mostly because we had a sort of similar shooting schedule, so we were off at the same time. And mm-hmm. one of the first times I got to hang out with him, he was at a bar, and I walked in, and I had this old Hawaiian shirt that was threadbare. I'd bought it at a thrift store, and it was just I thought it was my lucky shirt. But on the shoulders, you know, you could see my shoulders through it. There were holes. You know, it was so worn out. And so I walk in there, and Ray's sitting there. He says, "Hey, sit down." You know, and I was like, "Okay." And he said, "What's with your shirt?" And I said, "Oh, this is my lucky shirt. You know, I just, you know, like to wear it and all that stuff." So he takes his finger and he hooks the little hole in the shoulder of my shirt and just yanks it, just rips it. I said, "What the fuck are you doing?" You know? And he's like, "Now it's luckier."
Yeah.
And did that crazy cackle of his, and I was like, this dude is crazy, man. Anyway, so yeah, there's a lot of interesting characters on the shoot.
And he hasn't changed.
No.
Chantex and, you know, whatever parties he's doing.
Whatever wires were loose back then, it seems like they haven't gotten fixed.
Yeah. I mean, it's still the same. Yeah. And then you look at a guy like Costner, like, who has that many hits, for Christ's sakes?
Right.
Who's that lucky over and over and over? And I know he's a talented dude.
Sure.
But as an actor, you know that, you know, there's been great scripts that you read that turn out to be shitty movies.
So many.
And then there's shitty movies that you read that you're like, wait, that's a hit?
Exactly. Yeah, there's so many ways a good movie can go bad. It's so true. And Kevin, over the years, I thought about it a lot, but I come to the conclusion he is very good recognizing a good story. Even that he would do Field of Dreams, or, you know, what was called Shoeless Joe back then, just after coming off Bull Durham. Baseball movies were a pariah. Nobody was doing baseball movies. For his career to be just taking off and for him to do two baseball movies in a row, that was, everybody thought, this is career suicide for him. And, you know, look what happened, you know.
I know.
He really recognizes a good story, and he's very good at telling it. I mean, he did Dances with Wolves, you know, he directed that one, and, you know, and even, you know, the things he did there, having it mostly in Lakota Sioux dialect. I mean, those are crazy, crazy choices that people made fun of in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, he had a few. Waterworld, you know, didn't work. But, you know, you don't make masterpieces when you don't trying stuff that's new and weird people aren't going to.
And even,
you know,
Waterworld did well financially.
Right, and I thought it was, I mean, what a great concept.
Yeah.
You know, whether it was realized fully, I thought it was better movie than it's given credit for.
Same. When you go back and look at it, you're just like, man, how did that guy? And then to trip into Yellowstone.
Yeah.
Like, how crazy is that?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, right. Yeah. That's his first foray into television. And it's, you know, it's
nuts.
It's amazing.
Nuts. There's some people who are just kissed by God, and you're like, what is it with you? I've got a buddy like that, an actor friend of mine, and I'm like,
don't you just hate him?
Yes. I'm like, no matter how many people he's pissed off, I'm like, you still get hired for things, and it's nuts to me.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I've spent most of my career, you know, trying to be the nice guy, and it hasn't done me any good.
No. I tell my wife that all the time. I was like, dude, nice guys last.
Yeah,
it's always
totally.
Last.
Yeah.
It's the assholes who usually end up crushing and everything else. With tonight's festivities, what's on tap for you personally? I know you've got a million interviews, and you were just doing CNN right before you came on here.
Well, I got to tell you that I am as much a fan this week as anybody. I wanted to get all my interviews out of the way so that tonight I can just really
relax,
enjoy the game.
Yeah.
Yesterday we got a media tour through, you know, for those of you who don't know, the movie site field is here, and right in center field there's corn, but you can weave your way through the corn just like the players did, and then there's a path that goes over to the major league field, and they've piped the music from the film into the corn. So you're walking through it with that beautiful kind of piano stuff. It feels so magical. They have cutouts of the players, full-size cutouts, hiding in the corn, sort of. And then there's a whole corn maze that you can go through that's the MLB logo. And then you end up at the field. And the field has got barn siding as part of the you know, the sides of the field. The corn is raked outside the home run fence, and it's a, you know, it's a chain link home run fence, so you can see the corn. I mean, they really did a fantastic job, and I was one who was not so sure it was going to be a good move to have an MLB stadium this close to this sweet little movie site.
Yeah.
But as huge as that structure is, they did a beautiful job, you know, making it somehow recreate the magic that this field created when they built it back in 88.
Yeah, and you know, in the background you can hear people are still working. They're still working up until the game tonight, and I heard the players are actually going to enter through the corn onto the field to start the game, and then I believe Costner's throwing out the first pitch tonight. I saw him warming up last night. There was some footage on MLB.
Right.
Dude still got it.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, he's a good athlete. I mean, we'd take time between takes here, and he would, you know, routinely just crack the ball into the corn. I mean, you know, here at the small field, but you know, that's impressive. I never did it.
Yeah. I'd love to give it a go out here.
Oh man. Yeah, they had BP out here for some people the other day, and I mean, I can't wait to see who's the first. I mean, wait, see the MLB batting practice.
Oh yeah.
Those guys are going to say, throw it hard right down the middle. Let me be the first guy to put it in the corn. I'm excited for them.
Yeah, and with the fences that short next to the corn, like you were saying, I'm expecting a lot of home runs tonight, because the other thing about it is, and you're only one of the few people who know this, is what the wind is like at night.
Right.
Because if it's blowing out, there isn't anything to stop it but just the corn. So it could be a high-scoring game tonight.
Right. The Sox hit four home runs the other day, mm-hmm. and this is the left field fence is 335, and the breeze is blowing right out. So I have a feeling there's going to be people diving around in the corn to find some home run balls.
Bet the over tonight. Bet the over tonight is what you're saying.
Hey, sorry. I can't say that officially, but.
Yeah, we can. We host a huge sports show, so all of it's gambling. I feel like everything is gambling now. So the over-under, I'll ask you. Because I bet the over tonight. It was 9.5.
Okay.
So on Drinkin' Bros Sports, we have a mybookie.com promo code Drinkin' Bros. Doubles your deposit up to $1,000. We bet on all of it. Exactly. You put $1,000 in, and it's crazy.
Yeah.
Over is 9.5. The White Sox are favored by 1.5 tonight.
Okay.
Who do you have?
Well, I mean, I get in trouble when I take sides. To me, I'm a player guy. I love Aaron Judge. Mm-hmm. I'm really excited that that Rizzo's, you know, with the Yankees now, even though I'm not sure he's been cleared to play. But
He hit a home run the other night.
I hope he's back. Anyway, you know, it's hard to bet against the Sox right now. They are so hot. So you know, I think I'd take that. Yeah.
Same.
Sure.
And it's weird because if you look at the lineup on paper, you would say the Yankees.
Right.
But the Sox have been so hot that. And it's the Field of Dreams game, and you're like, they got to win tonight.
Right. You can bet that the Yankees are going to sort of get their whole thing together before playoff time, but it's hard to bet against the Sox right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Have you seen the food that's here, by the way?
Oh, yeah.
Did you try the apple pie hot dog from Guy Fieri yet?
Oh, no, my gosh, I haven't. I didn't
you
try
haven't?
That. No.
So he's doing a thing with Chevrolet. Oh. It looks like they're setting it up over there.
Apple pie hot dog.
Apple That's pie. There was a car commercial in the 70s for Chevrolet on the trucks, and it says the Chevrolets are as American as apple pie in baseball. So they went to Guy Fieri, and they said, can you create something with a hot dog and apple pie? And he was like, I don't know. Mm. So it's pie crust. I'll ask your opinion. It's pie crust around the hot dog, and then on top of the hot dog is nacho cheese and bacon.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. So they're going to be selling those tonight. I told my dad, I was like, look, just wait, because we're going to eat those when we're here.
You had me at pie crust.
I know.
I know. I would eat pie crust. You know, I would. Boy, that sounds cool.
Same.
Yeah.
Same.
All right.
It's one of those things. They're going all out for it. I know you have a ton of interviews today.
Yeah.
So I appreciate you stopping by. Real quick here, what's the greatest memory you had from the shoot itself?
Well, it sounds funny. I put a lot of those memories in the book because meeting James Earl Jones was amazing, mm-hmm. and meeting Burt Lancaster. This is a childhood hero of mine. You know, and even meeting Kevin at that point in his career was pretty awesome. But the thing I keep remembering is the first day I arrived here, like I said, I'd read the novella and, you know, of course, read the script, was driving down this driveway and seeing this farm with this completely incongruous baseball field in the middle of the corn. Now, it's become ubiquitous because we've seen this images from this field so many times. But back then it was kind of absurd in mm-hmm. the most wonderful way. And seeing it, I just got chills, and it was just driving in the van here for my first day of shooting. And what's kind of amazing to me is I had the same feeling walking from this field into the major league field yesterday, you know, with the music playing, and they somehow created that same kind of magic and the tingle that I got in my spine. And you know, I mean, I know that seems like a nothing memory, but as you said, you've been here before. This place is a little bit magical, you know.
Yeah.
I know it's totally life imitating art, but I think it is special. I think people bring their memories of their dads. People have spread ashes here. Mm-hmm. I think it's a hallowed ground in a funny way, and you know, I think it's still here, and you know, I'm excited today to just be just a fan like everybody else and have the experience of the game.
Yeah, I can't wait for it to start. I know Fox is doing an all-day thing for it, starting at 5, and then that's going to carry into the game. Super amped about that. This is the point in the show where we get to the Drinking Bro of the Week, which is someone who has inspired you or helped you become the person you are today. Who would you like to give the Drinking Bro of the Week to?
Drinking Bro of the Week. It should be... Well, I guess it's only appropriate that it be Kevin Costner. I know he was sort of my son in the movie, but he sort of has been an inspiration to me because of what he's done in his career and you know that he competes like we said, cranking out these things. So let's have one for Kev.
Absolutely. And then obviously before we go, Do you mind if I have a catch with my dad here?
I'd like that.
Dwyer Brown, thank you for being here. Tell everybody where they can find you on social media.
Well, I'm just at my name, Dwyer Brown, D-W-I-E-R Brown. I've got a website, you know, Dwyer Brown. It's all a Dwyer Brown. Yeah. So, and if you're interested in helping out a charity and having a box of cornflakes that I designed, actually, it's just fieldofdreamscereal.com.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you so much for doing the interview today. I know you're extremely busy, but it means the world to me, and so does this film. So thank you for being here today.
Oh, you're welcome. This was a lot of fun. Thanks.
Awesome. Thank you. Dwyer, you've done podcasts all week. You know we got some sponsors who put this show on the air. First and foremost is GhostBed.com/drinking bros. Let's go on that 40% off sale. Woo! We're at the Field of Dreams, where ghosts have come back to life. It's time for you to come back to life by getting yourself a nice, comfortable mattress to sleep on. If you don't get the 40% off bundle package of the adjustable base and the mattress, you can still get everything 30% off with the promo code DRINKINBROS in the store at ghostbed.com/DRINKINBROS. Also, you can get 2 free ghost pillows with a mattress when you order that right now. I'd highly recommend throwing some of the sheets on there. They're my favorite in this life. Gigantic fan of ghostbed.com/drinkingbros. As always, they got a 36-month pay-as-you-go program. No interest there. And you can use all the deals that I just mentioned and bundle them together inside all those savings. Go to ghostbed.com/drinkingbros today. Next up, man, if you're just chilling like a mogwai, and you'd like some wine, we've got the finest wine of the month club in the land. Talking about, come on now, do you know it? I'll give you a chance. Go ahead. Try firstleaf.com/drinkingbros. You know this. They've been with us for a while. We are ginormous fans of this company. 6 bottles of wine for $29.95 and free shipping. I cannot stress that enough. You get 6 bottles of wine for $29.95 and free shipping. Where else are you going to get 6 bottles of amazing wine for $30, under $30? That's including the shipping. It's crazy, dude. Go to tryfirstleaf.com/drinkingbros today and get on it. Look, I've been a member of this for 1.5 years. I think Dan's been a member for 2+ years now at this point. And the beauty of it is you get to go in and pick out the wines you want every single month. So when you get on their monthly subscription program and you get 6 bottles, you can switch it up. So Jesse, my wife, for example, wanted all whites for the summer. She says, it's Texas. It's too hot to drink reds. And she's correct in that assessment. I agree with her 100%. However, if you like red wine and maybe want to mix it with some whites, you can go in there and do that as well. These are award-winning wines from all over the world. I've gotten some from New Zealand. I've gotten some from Australia. I've gotten some from Spain. You name it, they have it there. And if you don't like the wine that is coming to you, you can swap out the bottles. It's awesome. It's kind of like Spotify, where you can just kind of skip it and be like, all right, great. Give me this other one. I like this one better. Also, it gives you the ability to save the wines that you loved. So now I know what my favorites are, and I keep a couple coming every single month that I like. And I cannot speak highly enough about tryfirstleaf.com/drinkingbros. Also, if you get on their monthly club, which I am on, if you leave and go somewhere else, you can pause it, you can come back to it, or cancel it anytime. Go to tryfirstleaf.com/drinkingbros. Whether you're by the water, grilling with friends, or taking it easy at home, First Leaf is the perfect summer staple. Join today and you'll get 6 bottles of wine for $29.95 and free shipping. Just go to tryfirstleaf.com/drinkingbros. That's 6 bottles of wine for $29.95 and free shipping at tryfirstleaf.com/drinkingbros. You will not regret this. This is one that will be with you for a long time. I can promise you that. And if you're having a little bit of the vino, you might as well throw down some jerky. Go to purejerkyco.com. That is purejerkyco.com and get the best tasting jerky I've ever had. Dan and I have issued a challenge to any Drinking Bros listener. If there is a better beef jerky out in the world, you are allowed to come up and slap us in the face in public. Dead serious. The only thing I ask is that you hand me the jerky that is better than this. I've never had better jerky in my life. This was a local company here in Austin, Texas. They're not massive or anything else, man. They were sent into the show. We all ate it like within an hour. Everybody in the office. We were like, dude, can we partner up with these guys? We are for a limited time right now. Go to purejerkyco.com today. Promo code Drinking Bros gets you 10% off. They got 4 bags for $25. They got 8 bags for like 50 something. And then they got a box of it, a whole entire box that's like burned into the wood, pure jerky. That's like $70. I'm telling you right now, if there is a better jerky, I will let you slap me in the face in public and then hand me whatever that better jerky is. There's nothing better on the planet than purejerkyco.com. Promo code Drinking Bros gets you 10% off, and they have a subscription. I promise you, I swear to you, best jerky I've ever had, or I would not say that. Gigantic fan of purejerkyco.com. Promo code Drinking Bros gets you 10% off. Get a subscription, dude. You're going to be having this sent to your office every single month. I can promise you that. Thanks, Dwyer. Well, I just finished up with Dwyer Brown, and I'm actually sitting with my own dad. I know you were kind of off in the distance there, enjoying the cornfields and checking out the movie set and the field and everything else. What I was telling him was that you were the one who took me to see this in theaters.
I remember that.
Yeah. And so for me, it was a big deal to take you here and enjoy this moment with you, because it feels like once in a lifetime.
And it is. It yeah. really is.
Yeah. I mean, you're seeing it. Is it? It's almost. And I told him, I was like, it's almost more beautiful in person, where you're like, holy shit, I can't believe this.
It's like I said to Dwyer, I said, is this heaven?
Yeah. And he's never heard that. I'm kidding.
Yeah.
But it feels like it. It feels
right.
like it.
And it does.
I remember for your birthday, for your 65th, we went to the Masters together.
We did.
Never been there, whatever. I know it was a bucket list item for you. And it had that same type of magic to it, where you walked in and look, I don't know if there's a heaven or whatever happens in the afterlife, but it felt like the Masters. Now that I'm here, it might actually be Field of Dreams, because this is absolutely stunning. Absolutely stunning.
I mean, and it couldn't be a better day for it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I mean, look at it. Feel it.
Yeah, exactly. I know you're having a little trouble with your voice.
I am.
But we're here all day long. We're going to be enjoying all the festivities, partying, everything else. You got to meet Dwyer Brown.
I did.
Kevin Costner's throwing out the first pitch tonight.
Right.
We're right behind the Yankees dugout, so we're going to get to see the whole thing go down tonight. And I'm really, really excited for it.
I mean, I am too. Everybody in Wilmington are going to be watching.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, it's on Fox. Yeah. It's 7 o'clock.
Oh, they're having watching parties.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Everybody is.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys can hear the listeners in the background, but they're actually playing the full score from the movie of Field of Dreams, and it's inside the cornfield. Can you hear it?
I can't hear
it.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's pretty incredible, and everything's set up for Fox. Everybody will be coming in a few hours. We're here super early in the morning What was your favorite scene from the movie?
I would say my favorite scene was when he first started building the field,
mm-hmm.
and you know, he's plowing the corn under, and all the town folks, the other farmers, is he nuts? What the hell is he doing?
Yeah.
But he kept going. He knew what he wanted to do, and didn't matter what they said, didn't matter what he was going to lose, he knew he had to do this.
Yeah.
And there's a lesson there.
Yeah.
You know?
And we were talking earlier about how they just don't make movies like this anymore. And, you know, look, you start off as an actor and you hope to make something like this. You don't know if it's going to happen or not. But this movie has lived forever, and I think will continue to live past us as well. It's just one of those movies that just means a lot.
Right.
And in particular, that last scene is what we were talking about, of just having a catch with your dad.
Yep. Yeah.
So it's incredible. It's incredible to be here. It's honestly hard to put into words. Just looking at it.
I know, right?
It's crazy because we're going to take a walk through the cornfield here in a second, get some photos, and then obviously go to the game tonight. What are you looking forward to tonight?
You know, I'm just looking forward to the electricity of the crowd.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to being, I think this is going to be historic. I'm looking forward to being a part of history.
Yeah.
You know, that's really what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah. Yeah. And me personally, even if they do have it again, I don't know that I'll come back here. We've got Bill Schofield that's going to join us here in a second. Iowa resident. Getting here was really, really difficult. I'm going to say it's worth it now. At 4 a.m. when my flight got in after it was canceled 3 times, it did not seem like it was going to be worth it. But this is one of these events that, you know, because I told my wife, she split off after like the third flight got canceled. And she was like, look, we got kids and I don't know if I'm going to be able to get home for the parent teacher conference. And I said, it's fine. I'm going. I wouldn't miss this for the world because I wanted to take you to this. And so I, through hell and high water, made it happen last night. But it was crazy.
Well, you know, you mentioned the Masters. And would I go again? Sure.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't be the same as the first time. If they did this again, would I come back? Probably not.
Yeah.
Because the magic is today.
Yeah.
And I don't want to change that.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. Once you're here, and you're like, all right, great, you know what to expect. Driving up here, because you and I were driving from the hotel this morning up here, you're going through all these cornfields, and you're like, man, this feels good. It feels like the movie, but is it going to be? And then now we're here, and it is.
Yeah.
We don't have camera crew in here today, just simply because of Fox is covering it and everything else, so we're doing an all audio show today. But you're about 20 yards from the house right there?
About, yeah.
Yeah. People are sitting on the porch swing where Costner and his wife used to sit. It's pretty surreal.
I mean, it really is.
It is.
It is.
It is. I just wanted to thank you for flying out, dealing with the bullshit of COVID and everything, and being here. It means the world to me, and I greatly appreciate it.
Well, you know how much it means to me, and it didn't matter. I mean, this is icing on the cake, yes. But just us getting together for a day.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the real thing.
Yeah. Well, I love you, buddy,
and I love
appreciate
you too.
It.
Absolutely.
Dwyer Brown had his own drinking bro of the week. Mine is actually Bill Schofield, who is joining us. Hand the mic over to Bill. Bill, friend of the show. You've been on numerous times before. You're a nooner, day one homie. I hit you up and I said, hey, dude, flights are canceled, everything else. Would you meet me at 7? My call time is at 7 a.m. at the field. And you were like, I already took the day off and I'm good. Got a cooler full of water, beer, everything else. Tried and true drinking bro. How long have you lived in Iowa?
I moved to Iowa from North Carolina in the summer of 2012. So eight, 9 years.
Okay, yeah. Cool. Yeah. Do you love it here? I mean, I know this is probably different. Have you even been to Field of Dreams?
I've never been out here. I've known it's out here. I've just never had a reason to get out here. I live about 3 hours away in Des Moines, bigger town. I think I was telling your dad, it's about the size of Charlotte. Des Moines, so it's bigger.
Sure.
But no, I haven't been out here. As far as living in Iowa, other than the weather, it was a great move. The people out here are great.
What is the weather like, actually?
Rough.
Yeah.
Rough. It's going to get hot today. But in the winter, I mean, you'll get some days that with wind chill is going to be in the double-digit negatives. And then in the summer, you know, this whole week's been in the low 90s. But on top of that, too, because of all the agriculture, you get a lot of humidity. So, I mean, it can be 95 with 90% humidity out here sometimes.
Really?
Yeah. So, I mean, if you want to move somewhere for good weather, don't move to Iowa. But other than that, like I said, came from Western North Carolina, the Asheville area, was needing, you know, better job, better quality of life from out there. My wife's family moved out to Iowa probably 15 years ago now. Mm-hmm. So I just started looking out here, and yeah, it's the cost of living in Iowa is relatively low. Quality of life is
good. Dwyer was saying that. He bought a building in town here in Dwyer's.
So, but then also salaries. I ended up getting a job that was twice what I was making in North Carolina with a 40% less cost of living. You know, Asheville's an expensive place, but even most of North Carolina is going to be pretty expensive to live in now.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, and like I said, the people are great. Since moving out here, I've had two boys. They're about the same age as your boys. So yeah, it's a great place to raise a family. So.
And it is beautiful. Look, the standard joke on the show for 6 years has been Iowa doesn't exist. Yeah. I'm going to be honest. When the flights got canceled yesterday, I did not know if Iowa was
still
a real
existed.
Place or not.
Yeah.
I drove in, like I said, at 4 a.m, so it was the middle of the night because I had to fly in Chicago, and I didn't get to see any of this.
Yeah.
So like this morning, as the sun was rising, again, early call time for this show here at the Field of Dreams set, it is remarkably beautiful. And, you know, to drive into work or wherever you're going every day through what you're driving through is amazing. Like Iowa is a great state.
So Iowa doesn't exist. And I'm actually starting to kind of get on board with Bert Kuntz's thing about how was it Wyoming's terrible with everybody making mass exoduses out of like California, New York. I'm all right with people thinking Iowa doesn't exist for a while.
Yeah.
But I think after today, Iowa's going to make the news. So.
Oh, look, it's all over every news outlet there is. Like I said, Fox is covering it all day today.
Oh, yeah.
My guess is whenever something great happens of this magnitude, it's as much as it's sports, it's still Hollywood, and they'll find a way to bring it back. There was a rumor last night that the Cubs had possibly signed on for another one or whatever, but to me, here in this moment, for the first one, this is where I want to be.
Oh yeah, it's incredible out here. Like I said, I've never been out here before. I'm glad, you know, you invited me out. It is beautiful. I've also been to Augusta, you know, and I'd say it's on par.
Oh, you've been to the Masters?
I've been to practice rounds several years in a row.
Great.
Yeah.
So what? And you can't bring cameras or anything else. What are your thoughts of this versus the Masters? Because right now, that is onesie twosies greatest events of all time, and we've been to everything: Super Bowls, national championships, you name it. This might be number one. I mean, for real.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, obviously, like for you guys, you have a pretty big connection to this field, right? I didn't grow up playing baseball. My dad's from London. So, you know, it was always soccer and golf. I'm a big golf fan.
Okay.
You know, I'm always on the horn with Dirty Dan for
picks.
Yeah, Dirty
Dan. Yeah. Just getting those picks, dog.
Yeah. So we talk golf a lot. So for me, like just personally, I'd probably go Masters, but this is a real close second.
Yeah.
This is gorgeous. And yeah, I think the atmosphere tonight's going to be crazy. But yeah, the Cubs signing on doesn't surprise me for what you were saying that MLB is pumped into this place.
Yeah, so for those of you who don't know, so Major League Baseball put $5 million into this game. The revenue that it's supposed to generate for this town will be amazing. It also puts it back on the map and the movie back in the spotlight after all these years. And I don't see them not doing this again. However, the first one is the best.
Yeah, the first one's definitely going to be the best. And I'm sure, like you said, just like anything that's popular in sports and specifically Hollywood, they'll probably just beat it into the ground until people are tired of it. So, yeah, I'm really glad that I was able to come out with you guys to the first one. I'm really glad to meet your dad.
Yeah.
Super nice guy. Met Dwyer real nice guy. It might be a good thing Jesse didn't come because that guy looks good.
I know, right? But she was in his acting class, so she's married into the family. It would be weird at that point. But yeah, what a great looking guy. Jesus Christ, man. It's hard holding it together when you get older, you know?
Yeah.
Look at that guy. Yeah, it's crazy, right?
I'm 33 and already going pretty gray.
So. Yeah.
Luckily, the wife likes it, so I lean into the salt and pepper.
You're a year older than me, so.
I know.
Yeah. So that happens.
Yeah.
But.
I hope you write your ID. You're going to get carded later.
Probably. Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? Would you like to give your own drinking bro of the week? I know you've given out some before, but pick somebody different this time.
Yeah. I won't do Blippi this time. I promise.
There it is.
Sorry. Former airman. Stephen J. Grossman.
Yeah. And hey, by the way, one of the best. I laugh my ass off because it took me, what? You were listening to that show.
It took, I've got it on my phone. I think it's about 90 seconds before you realized.
90 seconds before I realized it was Blippi. Yeah, I was like, you motherfucker.
I wish you had finished it because it was like some Terry Shivo references.
Oh, yeah. It got real dark.
Yeah, it got dark.
Which I love, obviously. But yeah.
But this time around, I'm going to give it to the Nooners, that community.
Yeah.
You know,
Ross Patterson Revolution. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going to name people specifically just because I'll end up forgetting somebody and feeling bad about it. But
sure.
They know who they are. You know, it's a pretty tight-knit group. The Nooners that are in the chats every show. There's countless like Instagram chat rooms with people in it.
Mm-hmm.
Friends on Facebook. They're awesome.
The private group is great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They're awesome. You know, Ross, you let me make some shirts for the Nooner community.
Dude, I greatly appreciate it, man. Oh, those were awesome.
Thank you, man. You're, like I said, I had to, people were like, oh, you need to do this shirt. You need to do this shirt. I was like, I got to get with Ross first, you know, like, but
I'm
yeah,
cool.
You know, but you know, I got to make sure everything's cool first.
I just want people to make money. I don't care.
Yeah. So
you're making dope ass t-shirts.
So yeah. And like I said, I moved out to Iowa 9 years ago, found the Drinking Bros community shortly after that. And, you know, when you move from one state to another, especially in being an adult and then also being, I'm an engineer,
mm-hmm.
you know, so engineering, the people I work with aren't typically the most social people and mm-hmm. they definitely don't understand the Drinking Bros sense of humor that I have.
No, not at all.
You know?
It's dark. It's
real dark. Like I just said, I make Terry Schiavo references constantly. Right? Sometimes life gives you vegetables.
Yeah.
Michael Schiavo.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
But just the Nooner community, they're great. They're like, I consider several of them real close friends. You know, we're always reaching out, helping each other. So drinking bros and broettes of the week is the Nooner community.
Yeah, man. And we appreciate it. Like, you know, for us, I was telling my dad on the drive over, the beauty of all of these shows is no matter where we go, what city we're in any state in the country, we're able to find listeners and just be like, hey, dude, I'll just call you. Where are you at? Let's go. Like, let's hang.
Yep.
Let's go get some beers this afternoon.
Yep.
Let's hang out. You brought some waters and some beers for us.
Yep.
And for the interviews and everything. And we're greatly appreciative toward you.
Yeah,
so, I mean, for real, dude, it's fucking awesome.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me come out, you know.
Yeah. So, yeah, you want to walk through the cornfield?
I'll walk through the cornfield.
Let's walk through the
cornfield. I've done it backward once. Don't do it.
Yeah, we'll walk through there. And look, we have press passes, so we're good.
Oh, yeah.
We get the bracelets. We're fine.
Yeah.
So
did you bring your, Moonlight Graham costume?
My Moonlight Graham costume? Yeah. I'm letting the girl choke on the hot dog. I've said this before. I'm not giving up my major league career for the girl choking on the hot dog. The fucking dad should have done something.
See, I watched the movie with my wife last night, and my biggest takeaway from that is the asshole uncle that, like, threw her off the back of the bleachers.
Worst character in the movie.
What's that dude doing? Yeah, he's kind of a dick. Who's that actor, by the way?
Timothy Busfield.
Yeah.
He's a really funny guy in real life.
He's just super unlikable in that movie.
He's a great actor. Yeah. Like, yeah, he did his job.
Yeah.
He did his job. But, yeah, for Moonlight to give up his career, like, fuck that.
Yeah,
I want to let the kid die. Like, that's your kid.
Yeah.
Fix it, you know?
Yeah, choking on a hot dog. Do a little triage, Dad. Let's go.
Yeah.
Kids. You should know what's going on.
What was the line in that where he goes, I got to get home or somebody's going to be worried about me? What was the wife's name?
I forgot. It was like Abigail's going to think I have a girlfriend.
Yeah.
Old guy with a mustache. Abigail's going to think I have a girlfriend.
God, he was great. It was Charlton Heston, right?
Yeah.
What a great film.
Oh, yeah.
Today's going to be a great day. Thanks again for everything, man, for real. Thanks for coming out.
Thanks for having me, man.
And helping out. I mean, shit, it was early, bro.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't, like I said, I wouldn't have had an opportunity to come out here, you know, if you hadn't invited me because, you know, you got the Dwyer connection. The only person I know from the movie is the lady trying to ban books earlier on. You know,
oh,
in the
is
scene.
She here? Amy?
I don't know. Is
Amy
she?
Madigan, I believe, is her name.
Yeah.
I know there's some other actors coming, but they haven't said who yet. So, you know, we were scheduled to do Dwyer this morning. Costner, don't give me shit about Costner. He fucking rolls in a private jet and does a couple pitches and then he's out. So
I posted this morning that you know, he has arrived, and you can tell he must have a hog on him because it's got a gravitational feel because you felt the air get heavier in Iowa once that plane landed.
I didn't want to ask Dwyer about that. I didn't want to be like, hey, dude, talk to me about Costner's hog, dude. Yeah. I want to ask K. Cost himself. You know?
Yeah, the real question is, are you going to shout it to him if you see him later?
Maybe.
Let's see that hog.
One of my first, because I was doing sketches for Funny or Die in between movies when it first started. One of my first sketches was a rap song called Costner, Wild Turkey, and Vicodin that went viral. Do you know that one?
I don't know that one. I'll have to look it up now.
It's so good, dude. But his daughter actually hit me up. She was in like Colorado or something. She was like, hey, you don't know me, but that's my dad. And she goes, this is fucking hilarious. Because I went through all of his movies in this sketch song. And it was about him doing Wild Turkey and Vicodin in that movie, The Guardian.
Oh, yeah.
About the Coast Guard.
Yeah.
You know, it was like the Coast Guard was so hard, he had to get up and drink Wild Turkey and eat Vicodin every morning. And
yeah,
I was just like,
you
cool.
live in Alaska. What else are you going to do?
I might play us out of here with that song today.
All right,
that was my first like foray into that shit, and it blew up and did well. And again, the music is cranked up through the cornfields.
Oh yeah,
you can hear it. God, I'm getting emotional today. Look, I appreciate all you guys being here. Drinking Bros, please go to iTunes, rate the show a 5-star, and leave a quick review. And to you guys, I'm grateful for all of you listening. I wouldn't get to do cool shit like this in real life if it weren't for you. And I'm extremely grateful that you guys listen day in and day out. This is an audio show only. Fox, I believe, has the rights today. So they were kind enough to let us at least do the interview on the actual field itself. But they're like, no video. We're doing some shit here, bro. And look, we're looking at their setup now. It's going to be massive tonight.
Amateur
is A-Rod
looking.
Doing that? I think A-Rod's doing this game tonight. I think he is. If I see A-Rod, Jesus Christ.
I will say that the Fox Sports setup looks pretty amateur hour compared to the setup in Austin.
I agree. Our studio is pretty amazing. But I think, this is just a guess, they were probably only allowed a certain amount because they didn't want to fuck up the field. Look at how amazing that field is. Jesus. They didn't want anybody on there.
I think their camera guy heard me talking shit.
Did he really?
I think so.
Oh, fuck him. Who cares? we're going to go walk through the cornfields and disappear. For Bill Schofield, Dwyer Brown, Jerry Lowry, I'm Ross Patterson. This is the Drinking Bros podcast. Good night, everyone. We'll play you out with the Costner song.
Kevin Costner, Wild Turkey, and Bike It In.
My alarm sounds. I gotta wake up. Too much Wild Turkey. I'm about to throw up. And I can't miss work again. They'll come find my ass and take away my health plan. That can't happen, son, without my doctor's permission. They won't prescribe me Vicodin. You can call me a fraud or imposter, but all day long I sit and dream of Kevin Costner. I own all of his flicks, and whoever doesn't like it can suck my dick. Time is moving slow, I'm feeling anxious. Costner's on a 9, killing gangsters.
Untouchable.
Staring down at my watch, it's 5 o'clock at last. I take a long pull from my flask. All I need is my Costner. A glass of Wild Turkey.
Yeah.
To wash down my Vicodin. You know we gon' do it again.
What?
All I need is my Costner.
Yeah.
A glass of Wild Turkey. To wash down my Vicodin.
Say what?
You know we gon' do it again.
Damn.
Thank God the fucking work week is over. I race outside and jump on my Corolla.
It's a hybrid.
And then I hit the freeway. Damn, just like Wyatt Earp, I get no leeway.
Yeah,
but all this traffic's got me shook. Yeah, I'm having evil thoughts like Mr. Brooks. I'm hitting side street like the postman. Shit, but it feels like I'm 3,000 miles from Graceland. And all this Vicodin has got me itchy.
I'm driving home like Nicole Rich.
Long way, baby.
I stop at Taco Bell before I head to the house. Then I plop my fat ass on the couch. 2 hours later, I'm a mess. I'm doing shots with Elliot Ness. I need the bodyguard to come and save me. I'm getting more fucked up than John Daly.
God damn.
My hair starts to swirl. I lay on the couch and drip away to Waterworld. All I need is my Costner, a glass of wild turkey to wash down my Vicodin. You know we gon' do it again. All I need is my Costner, a glass of wild turkey to wash down my Vicodin. You know we gon' do it again.
Yeah.
I roll out of my bed around 1. It's Saturday, it's time to play a Costner marathon. Yeah, I take a Vicodin and get me perky.
Oops.
My glass is swishing full of wild turkey.
Damn.
Looking up at my shelf to find a DVD. I said long field of dreams. The movie's flying by, it's almost over. Costner's out back talking to Ray Liotta. He slowly turns around and I feel sad. He just wanna catch with his dad.
Sheesh. If you build it, he will come.
I wipe my tears away and then pop in the Guardian. Yeah, that's the one about the Coast Guard. Kevin loses a life and takes it real hard. Just to get out of bed, he needs bikes and turkey. The motherfucker's just like me. Costner, a glass of wild turkey to wash down my Vicodin. You know we gon' do it again. All I need is my Costner, a glass of wild turkey to wash down my Vicodin. You know we gon' do it again.
Tell your friends to get with Costner's friends and we can be friends. Shit, we can watch Dance with Wolves every weekend. Is that I? Is that I with you? Yeah, keep banging.
Yeah, Rush Limbaugh, I see you, baby. I'm popping pills, too. I'm dropping more hits than Bull Durham, baby.
Is this heaven?
Hell no, it's Iowa, motherfucker.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.